Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Sports Sunday On Demand, a Service Patriots podcast.
Is your heater safe? Why replace it when Service Patriots can restore it? Get their $59 27-point furnace tune-up and safety check, including a free 1-inch filter. They also check your AC for free.
Go to servicepatriots.com.
It's time for Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
Second and 7. Irving breaks it back. Wakefield bounces outside. He's got a burst. Bucky Irving.
Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company.
Ben takes the shotgun snap. Will Branson throws down the right sideline. An over-the-shoulder catch by Harrison. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Gators!
Explore the flavors of Oregon at Grillworks Supply Company in Beaverton or at grillworkspdx.com.
Football is so fun. This is our job. That's crazy. It's so fun.
Now, here are your Football Sunday hosts, Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher, on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
You're about to get it right there.
You're about to get this.
No, don't say that. I'm not scared of you.
Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan.
Jeez. Yeah. It's so early.
8 a.m. That's right. 8 a.m. today. Thank you, Seahawks, for the early morning wake-up call on a Sunday.
Got a 6:30 a.m. start for NFL football, though, man. For
over there.
London watchers.
Yeah, my phone was going off. I had all type of notifications. Like, man, what the hell is going on?
Across Trevor the Lawrence Atlantic. Killing. Yep.
Good.
Yep.
He's my fantasy quarterback.
Mine, too. I'm that like, okay, big. Trevor.
Yeah. Well, he did get sacked before the end of the first
half.
He's
on his way to getting benched here in a minute. So,
Yeah, no kidding.
8 a.m., 8 a.m. It's already... where is it? Pop me up. Pop me up, baby. Oh,
there you go.
It's lit!
There we go.
Ah, it's lit.
Huh. There we go. See, this is something that I am just not used to and I'm not utilizing anymore. Is
the drop board.
I mean, how about just a little Viking horn?
Looking at this hit from Ole Miss to LSU.
Viking horn is deleted, apparently. What?
Yeah, unfortunately. Somebody,
I think Swag probably just didn't want to hear that anymore.
How about
turd moment? Wow.
I'm not mad at him. There are certain things we can just delete. All the fart noises can go.
We need to clean this all up. How about Gary Thorne? There we go.
How about this?
You're top of your helmet!
Yeah, we'll give you that all morning. Here on
Super racist Sports Dan Sunday. Lanning. Unbelievable.
Oh, good God. Yeah. Rashad, please tell us about that, since neither Joe or I can talk on
Are
this
you
subject.
Offended by Dan yeah. Lanning's pregame speech and the Ducks' approach to the Colorado game?
Was I offended? Were people, is that a thing?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Yes, Twitter.
I love.
Was it Black Twitter?
I don't really know what.
You guys check Black Twitter?
I'm going to call maybe liberal Twitter as opposed to Black Twitter, but I don't know for sure.
Either way, it was, people were not happy with Dan Lanning, apparently.
What, the doing it for clicks line?
Yeah,
doing it for clicks.
Was he wrong? Well, listen, let's not act like Oregon hasn't done it for
like
clicks.
I feel like Rashad just crawled out of a cave.
No, I'm just saying.
The last
no, I was like, no, because I'm sitting
the
here
hell?
Like, did he say something that I missed or something? But no, but as far as, let's just be real, man, Oregon's been doing it for clicks. For years. What are the jerseys for? What are the big gaudy buildings for? What are all the that's what Oregon's been doing it for all the clicks for years. So now everybody else is getting a taste
they
of
kind
what
of revolutionized
other,
the way you do it for clicks.
But I'm
though.
Saying but
they did.
Very very few championships to prove for it outside of the Pac-12 championships, but they got great jerseys. They got everything. Oregon gives you reason to look at them. And it's the same thing. They're peacocking. The same thing Dion's doing right now.
How many times have Colorado been peacocking there in the last 50
How many
years?
Times have they had Prime as their coach? Or at least people that got in the Pac-12 where there's USC and Washington and Oregon and even Stanford when they were good. Who was going to Colorado? What great players were they getting? What great coaches were lined up
Mel
to go
Tucker.
There? And now in a year, all of a sudden, Deion's got guys that people are...
Dan Mullins?
Right? See? You know?
Big Ten
so
football!
One of those things. But no, I didn't think people were actually offended, you know, by that. That's crazy talk.
I'm trying to remember. It wasn't Dan Mullen, but it was some dude named text line. Actually, this is a great time to ask for the text line here. Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and
after.
You got it. And after this sale. Visit VancouverFord.com, 503-864-6FAN. It wasn't Dan Mullen. It was, and it's escaping me. He was on Isaac and Suk's show, actually, years ago.
Yes, he was.
After Colorado. Oh, my God. It's
with his big
me.
Mullet. Yeah, that's why you say Mullen, because he had a mullet. I really think there's like this kind of natural, like, well, your hairstyle just kind of makes me want to say Mullen.
No, it wasn't Dan Mullen. It is absolutely killing me, because he used to be the Boise State head coach. And then Dan Hawkins.
There you go.
It was Dan Hawkins, and things did not go well during his run at Colorado.
Things typically don't go well in Colorado. And now all of a sudden, no, seriously, and all of a sudden for the past 5 weeks, they've been a part of the major news feed.
Dude, did you see the game with USC yesterday?
They were almost right. You know, so against the best team in the conference,
They're getting the proud of them votes right now from the national media.
Well, especially considering how they got drug all up and down the field the week prior by Oregon. So
to come out
the next week and play really well against a team that most people project to go to the playoff, like, yeah, that's pretty damn good.
Now, I appreciate you kind of, Rashad, asking, like, well, where is this coming from? Pointing out a little bit of this absurdity, because they got their butt kicked by Oregon 42-6 last week. And sorry, national media, it's like, no, Deion shouldn't have won that game just because he's Deion Sanders. Let's talk about why Colorado lost, not just blame Dan Lanning for being racist, and then all of a sudden
did they use the word racist?
No, it was just very tongue-in-cheek like wording. Skip Bayless saying there's a lot of vitriol.
Yeah, the racist
behind
if that's who said it, then he wasn't the only one.
Twitter essentially translated into, oh, it's racism, but Skip did not say it. No, he kind of smelled his own fart and then chose his words very, very carefully. So
how about this? Twitter always keeps showing that Twitter is king. You can say whatever you want about Instagram and TikTok and everything like that. When news gets broken, you want to see people's instant reactions, I never go to my Instagram or my, Facebook every now and then.
We hit
for the
threads?
Most part.
Anybody on Threads? Yeah. That was a thing, 6 months ago? And I don't think anybody
everything
uses
on
it Insta-
anymore. On Twitter. Or an X. What's it? It's X now?
It's X. It's X, formerly known as Twitter.
Thinking I had a missed call when I had the ex was like, man, what is this? Why do I have all these missed calls? And then I look closer and it's like, oh, this is Twitter? crazy. But Twitter is, it's awesome. X, you can get like your updates on news. What's your favorite team doing? You know, what are these the people in porn again, or OnlyFans doing?
Rashad apparently just woke up from hibernation, from a year's sleep in a space pod. He's amazed at the internet.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's one of them things. Like, as
getting
know,
caught up on the landing stuff, he's just yawning when the show starts. Like, bud.
No.
Did someone open the cryo sleep tank?
No, of course not. Just saying, I'm up now. It's 8 a.m. Like, we hear it. I've been up since, at least 6:45. So
6:45?
Yeah. I didn't get to bed until about 2 a.m., you guys.
Ooh.
It was about 3 when I fell
Hence
asleep.
Why you have your liter milkshake over there, as Sook calls it.
You know what? I love you, Sook. Although, and thankfully, I had some time to... He called me out for my beaver steak on Friday.
Oh, boy.
And then I ended up actually kind of being correct. So I'm holding that one for a while.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you keep that one in the chamber for a minute.
I'm intrigued to know what it is. And Vancouver Ford text line already chiming in. And yes, it was Dan Hawkins. Thank you for backing me up on that.
You ain't into murals, brother.
One thing I also saw on Twitter this morning, and actually I've seen a little bit. Hopefully, I want to see some on the TV. The Toy Story version of this London game. Have you guys seen this?
I'm watching it right now.
You're watching the Toy Story version in there?
I am watching the Toy Story ESPN Plus Disney Plus broadcast right now. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to follow, y'all.
First, there's a chip in each player's shoulder pads to track the movement, and then combines that with a Hawkeye optical tracking to animate the game in real time, apparently.
Problem is, when they have, like, 8 players too close to each other, maybe where you stand in a huddle on the offensive side, especially before the play starts, they all kind of start to shake. And they, you know, it's like there's some issues. It's not 100% yet.
For children.
I'm thinking if you're a 5-year-old.
I don't know if there's a 45-year-old watching this game at home, like, this sucks.
For children. It's for the wives. It's for There's a whole
other
demographic.
Toy Story version of the game. It's for kids.
It's for maybe the young girlfriends, you know, the early 20s that are, you know, seriously, the early 20s that are watching, you know. The
That's what
Renner,
T Swift
renovations
is for.
And stuff like that. So
we're nailing all demographics in NFL at this point. We had Taylor Swift is hitting the women 15 to 45 category.
Did you hear
we
how the
Toy
Kelsey-
Story hitting children under the age of 15 here? And then we already have the male from ages 12 and up. So I mean, we're good,
bro. Did you see how the Kelseys came up this week as far as like podcast numbers and all type of stuff?
Baseball? Oh yeah, baby.
Why did he have to score a touchdown? If he hadn't scored a touchdown, it really wouldn't have been as big. They would have been showing her, but like the next Monday morning memes wouldn't have.
I love it. I love it.
I hate it.
I love it.
I mean, hey man, I think it's great. All of a sudden, Travis Kelce went from like super cool, like John B. you know, R&B guy, and now he looks like an off-duty cop who turns off his body cam.
Who does it?
You know, with just the mustache. Yeah,
the mustache needs to go.
Yeah, it looks really, really weird, Travis.
Hey, who doesn't love scoring a touchdown, and especially in front of a new fling? I mean, if you know, your girl, your wife, you score many touchdowns in front of her, it's cool, but that first touchdown?
And if your new fling is Taylor Swift?
Oh, and it's...
Like, seriously, it's Rihanna... Or Beyonce.
Whoa.
No, seriously.
Be
if
careful.
It's like, I mean, because if let's be real. Like,
Riri's my girl.
Well, let's be real. That's the, not trajectory, but that's the level that she's at. You know, you can say we want to culturally and everything like that. Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Rihanna. There is a cult like Nicki Minaj. There's a cult like.
Yeah, I don't know if there's ever been anything like
it's
this
gross.
T-Swift thing right now, dude. It's kind of crazy.
Which number do you think will be higher? The number of passes for touchdown that Travis Kelce catches, or the number of months that Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce's relationship
Travis Kelce screwed. He can't mess this up. He cannot mess this up. This is the one. Listen, Taylor Swift is
doesn't
huge.
Bode well.
No, it doesn't. Because guess what? They break up. He's going to have a song written about him.
They're not together.
He messes up. He steps out of line. He does something that she doesn't like. Guess what? There's a new record that's going platinum in hours. That's going to be based on Travis Kelce.
You know, technically, how this all started was over a friendship bracelet, so this could be a thing here. Are they just hanging out?
Well, friends don't come.
Are they just Netflixing? Not chilling?
I literally just read a quote that said, they are in the very early stages of getting to know each other, which is, that sounds like 90% of the people that I haven't talked
Netflix
to.
Netflix and chill. You know, that's what they're doing right now.
I hope that it's that. Travis is like, I'm locked in right now in the season and I can't have any distractions. I hope that it's him. That's
you know something about this.
Me.
Remember your boy Tony Romo. Remember when Jessica Simpson was it? I think it was
Carrie Underwood at one point too.
Man,
yeah.
Showed up at the game and everybody was up in arms. Whoa!
You don't want this life.
Yeah,
you don't want this cowboy life. Okay.
It's funny.
It's a lot of pressure. It's, you know, the blondes come around, the cameras come around. It's a lot.
It's funny you guys mentioned the mustaches and blondes coming around because apparently you mentioned Travis Kelce, but also Olivia Dunn, you know, the very, very hot LSU gymnast who went viral on Instagram this year.
I recall.
Yeah, her boyfriend, top prospect in baseball. I think Paul Skeens is his name. He also rocks the stash. And I saw a Twitter article pointing out how Travis Kelce and Paul Skeens are rocking the exact same stash and now how the stash is hot again. And it's just like, no, it's really not. Just because these two athletes are rocking
Unless they're making Super Troopers 3 and you're in it, there's no reason to have a mustache.
It's
and
usually
just the mustache. It looks creepy.
It depends on the stash.
No, man. There's no mustache.
I'll grow out my stash. I'll do a stash. I'll grow out my beard.
Listen, bro.
I'll let it go, and then I'll shave and leave just the stash for you guys.
That looks so weird.
I'll leave just the stash.
And it's like an eyebrow.
If it's a blonde stash... Like, and it's light colored, then yeah, no, absolutely not. You cannot be having a blonde colored mustache on your face. That is creepy.
No, you know what? All these guys just look like wannabe New York Yankees because you can't have any facial hair except a mustache.
But if you have like a Tom Selleck a mustache.
That's not cool.
But they're not Tom Selleck-esque.
That's not cool.
No, I'm saying if you can.
Okay.
If you can have a Tom Selleck-esque mustache, then rock that, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess Tom Selleck's mustache.
Are you follicly challenged on the face, Jordan?
Is the one.
Are you,
no,
is that
I
what it
don't.
Is?
No. I don't want. Actually, I could probably, now that I'm close to 35, could probably grow something kind of like my dad's.
It sounds
stash.
Like he's follically challenged on the face.
No. I shave it. I literally, I'm rubbing here. It's like, I think I need to shave it again because I don't
just saying, man. There's any weirdo that we've seen, like, they rock just the mustache. It's just weird. And no offense to anybody with just the mustaches, but if you can grow a mustache, that means you can probably grow a beard.
Vancouver 4 text line says that Cam Smith mustache is so bad. Yeah, the Australian golfer. He's got to let that go. Maybe it's an Australian thing, but that thing is disgusting.
Now, if you're doing it for a job, if you're Hulk Hogan, like, you're known for your mustache, like, that makes sense. You're Tom Selleck.
Got the
you're
Fu
famous.
Manchu.
You're famous for your mustache. Yeah. Burt Reynolds is famous for his mustache. You
or
know,
like an actual cop that has to keep their face clean and can only have a mustache.
Yeah, like that's weird.
You guys will change your mind once you see this.
I've seen you with the mustache, Joe. Got to be honest, person. It was weird, buddy.
No,
all right,
it wasn't
Joe.
Look at this guy. Look at this
Fisher.
Guy on the TV right now. That is a solid stash. That, Ryan Nielsen, defensive coordinator for the Falcons.
Ryan Nielsen looks like he hides in bushes and, you know, calls people.
Hey, his defense has only given up 10 points so far, so the stash is clearly working.
Well, what's today, October 1st?
That's what's doing it. That's the stash.
The Tay-Tay Travis Kelce. You heard it here on 1080 The Fan this morning. The Tay-Tay Travis Kelce thing is going to be over by Halloween, y'all. I'm telling you.
Someone doesn't believe in true love.
It's not about true love. They already got their boosts. They already... got all over the social media.
But yeah, here are two people that probably... Yeah,
they already won. They're done.
Everybody could use a boost, but don't really need it. Travis Kelce just won a Super Bowl. He's the best tight end in the league. He's basically Gronkowski now, and Patrick Mahomes is basically Brady all of a sudden. And then the other one is Taylor Swift. So, you know, yeah, the boost definitely helps, but...
Yeah, this is like saying Tom Brady needs help finding a woman. Like, he obviously doesn't.
So ugly. Have you seen him?
I know.
Yeah, man. He probably does need
him. Happy for them both. I'm happy for her. I mean, listen, she can only write so many songs about breakups until she then writes the album about finding the one. And then,
the breakup
imagine
song.
The numbers that's going to do. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we have
her worst work yet. One star.
Yeah.
She finally finds a dude, marries him, settles down, and turns into a terrible musician.
Yeah, I think this could be great. I think they're cute.
There is an old joke about that. I don't know if y'all watched Boy Meets World back in the day, but a star had to just go dark, kind of like Tay-Tay or Beyonce or people that sing like that kind of stuff. And that's what works. That's what people want to hear.
A pairing that we're going to have to get to later in the NBA, a new pairing. The Oregon Ducks, of course, played yesterday.
The Oregon State Beavers played on Friday. We'll have to get to their games and some other Pac-12 matchups as we have a huge Pac-12 matchup in a couple of weeks now. We're going to do Who Do You Love at the end of the first hour. So get your picks ready, fellas, as far as who you think is going to get some spreads covered or not, over-unders, all that good gambling stuff. We'll look over our picks from last week as well. Hour two, College Game Day needs to settle down on ESPN, and we got some audio for that. MLB playoffs, those are set. All the teams, divisions, wild card teams, and up in Seattle, they're not too happy that they aren't one of those teams. So we get to that as well, and we are going to end the show with Fantasy Scramble. So any fantasy football starter sit questions, we will end things off there. So text that into the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6FAN. This is Football Sunday brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. They're having a huge sale this week as well. 100 grills and 100 hours go until Wednesday. Huge clearance sale. Check them out on Hall Boulevard. But first, on Football Sunday, we got to start with the biggest news we've had in this city in a long time, and that's Damian Lillard being traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. I know it's not football, but we have to talk about it here next on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
It has been an amazing last 11 years with Damian Lillard as a Portland Trailblazer. Let's not ever forget what he has given to this city, the moments. We'll have the rest of our lives to think about all those moments and everything he's done. But let's break down the last week of transgressions that has led to Damian Lillard now being the newest member of the Milwaukee Bucks, which, thank God, first of all the teams that had their names in the mix, I'm glad he's going to the Bucks, playing with Giannis, a very likable star. Two dudes that are both very likable. That combination is going to be nasty. We can get to that at some point. But Damian Lillard is finally traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. And the return for the Blazers, it's a three-team trade with the Suns as well. And Blazers get back Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Jordan. You might have the name of the third guy off
Tumani Kamara.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Draft pick, 2029, and then a couple draft swaps, I believe.
2030.
Look at you, locked in.
Well, and it's burned into my memory.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Very, very sad.
So that is the trade as of now. Drew Holiday, not going to be a Blazer, looking to get more. I think I've read about like there's like 14 teams interested in acquiring him. That could be multiple picks.
Of course.
Maybe a young player coming that way. But the trade has happened. I mean, he's going to go to Milwaukee. This is the new era of the Blazers without Damian Lillard and Rashad. I mean, just initial thoughts from the trade, the return, when it all happened, because I believe this was on Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe, that this Wednesday morning
Wednesday.
Is when it went down. I got out of the doctor office checking out my back, and shocking, nothing wrong with it, apparently. I have to go to PT. Let's not get into that, though. What were your initial thoughts, though, Rashad, about the trade?
First initial thought was finally, it's over. Like, this is...
Like, thank God.
Thank God this whole thing is over, because it's been nothing but, I would say months, but let's be real, years of talk about, man, is Dame going to sign here? Is he going to get traded? Like, what's best for the organization? What do you do? And let's be real, we got 10 years, you know, of healthy Damian Lillard. You know, we had some great teams in between there with LaMarcus and, you know, Wesley and, you know, all those guys. Had a great playoff run 1 year, getting all the way to the conference final. Like, you know, just I've on that note, man, appreciate what happened or what he did. And I think more than anything, I'm just ready to kind of move on. You know, like, I think 10 years, 11 years for any franchise is a lot. You know, that's a lot of time. Kids are, you know, from elementary school through high school. If you're my son, only knows Damian Lillard as a Portland Trailblazer. You
know? My son cried the day it happened. Apparently,
yeah. See, you know, it's just, and there's a lot of kids that had jerseys and went to the Rose Garden.
I made him run a lap because of it.
Yeah. Wipe those tears. Boy, rub some dirt on it, man. He'll be fine.
Then do up downs.
Yeah. See, that's there you go. Joe Jackson.
Did you do him with him, Dan Campbell?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. I had him do push-ups with my foot on his back. No tears.
You know, but overall, I was happy with the return that the Blazers got, including Drew Holiday. You know, only even if Drew Holiday is going to be used as a trade piece to get more pieces, or, you know, bench players or whatever he's going to be.
Yeah, they're flipping it quick.
It's going time.
It's going to be something that's going to be, you know, beneficial for the franchise. I've never was a Nurkic fan. And so,
I want to talk about, you know, being happy that a run is over.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing ran its course.
For Nurk to go was, you know, was like, okay, that's a move. But for the most part, man, I think a lot of credit's got to be given to Joe Cronin, who I think is kind of, people are 50-50 on.
But wait, I thought he was the worst person on planet Earth. Nah. And
His
time was numbered.
He did his job.
Somebody in that studio still thinks so.
Yeah, he did his job. You know, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, which was, he didn't cave to his superstars, players, you know, wasn't even a request. It was a demand. I want to be traded, and I want to be traded to this team. If you don't trade me to this team, then I'm not going to play. That's essentially what Damian Lillard said. And so he could have been like, okay, I'll trade you to Miami, get nothing back for it, and screw our franchise. Then how mad would people have been at Joe Cronin? If you'd have really made that trade and taken Tyler Hero and who was the other one that they were trying to that they're trying to give, the other white shooter?
I mean, all I saw that the reports were coming out was Tyler Hero and two firsts,
and then Kyle Lowry. If
that was really the deal that you were going to get, Blazer fans would have been pissed,
and Joe Cronin possibly would have lost his job.
Absolutely.
It's not just about Blazers fans being pissed. It was Joe Cronin trading for his job here.
That's exactly what he did, and look what he did. He took the superstar player, got some first round picks out of it. Was probably going to get more first round picks out of it because of the Drew Holiday trade. You got a competent center all of a sudden, and then you made room for your 20-point-a-night scorer, Anthony Simons, and then your two new young guns to be able to grow and flourish. Age the age is like what? The average age is like 24, 25?
24, 25-ish.
One of the youngest teams. Makes them one of the youngest teams in the league.
Dude, it sounds like he totally just ruined the franchise and roster to me.
I mean...
Well, he didn't ruin it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Sarcasm.
We still don't know how these guys are going to play. I don't think they're going to win many games, but, I mean, hey, we'll see. You at least got a few veterans, you know, in the lineup that can maybe get you over the hump. Because if you're asking me right now who's better, Ayton or Nurk?
Oh, easy.
It's
easy
not even, yeah, right? It's not even a question who's better at this point. And so, of course, you lose Dame, but you've got some young talent that, and we keep forgetting about Shaedon Sharpe. Like, we've talked a lot about Scoot Henderson to where we've kind of forgotten about Shaedon Sharpe and his skill set and him his growth and all those things. So, like, yeah, I wasn't mad at Joe Cronin. I actually thought he did a really good job. He's not Danny Ainge, but he still came out of this thing looking great. And like you said, Jordan may have saved his job with this trade.
So I see two sides to this deal. Just what you said, yeah, he saved his job essentially and really gained the respect, I think, of some Blazers fans and national media as well, and probably some others in the NBA GM circle just able to get what they did. I'm not sure people were thinking they were going to actually be able to get a front court piece that they wanted, but congrats to Joe Cronin for doing that. And yes, they needed to move on after so much time, but there is the Blazers fan side of me that will never accept the fact that I get it. We got 10, 11 great healthy years of Dame. We gave up probably four more years, maybe three more prime years if he stays healthy. This is in peak world. We gave that up for another 10 years of Scoot Henderson with an organization that couldn't put talent around one of the top players in NBA history. So I get it. We have to do this. We're here, and I've got to understand and accept it, but there is part of me that will be mad forever at this Blazers organization for letting egos to just dictate everything. Dame wanted to come back after all of this happened. Joe, I'm sure we're going to get into that, and it's just so frustrating to hear basically egotistical attitudes and a couple of jerks may have swayed these talks throughout this entire process.
The thing that that like kills me the most over time is that we're forgetting how bad of like that Neil Olshey put this team in. Like it was really,
stop
really
breaking
bad.
News, dude.
It was really bad when Joe Cronin took over. And I think that he, for the last, 2 years since Olshey left, has been trying to play this line of, we need to reset the deck, and I'm going to somehow make Dame a part of that, but I don't know if it's going to be possible. And quite frankly, I think that things changed dramatically and drastically, both words, on draft night when the Hornets took Brandon Miller instead of Scoot Henderson. I mean, at that point, I think them wanting Scoot Henderson was a huge part of things changing as far as the third pick goes.
But how did they get Scoot?
Well, I mean, they didn't trade the third overall pick
leading up
to the draft.
But how did they get the third overall pick? They sat Dame and went 1-9 in the last 10 games because they said, Dame, buy into what we're doing and we're going to get this around you.
The third pick wasn't guaranteed at that point, though.
But then when they got it.
The sixth or seventh was maybe, you know, that's where they were in that area. Nothing was guaranteed at that point.
But then when they got it because of what Dame did for them, when they got more than what they wanted, they said, screw you, Dame, we're moving on. I'm never going to get over that, Joe.
I mean, here's the cold part, though. Like,
going to have to here in a couple months.
After months of, man, dude wouldn't even speak on the Blazers. I'm not even going to speak on the Trail Blazers organization when he was asked questions, you know, about it. And then all of a sudden, you demand a trade. I'm only going here. I've been so loyal, all these things. You said all these things for so long. And then all of a sudden, man, yeah, I guess I'm going to come back, and at least until y'all trade me. And it's...
Yeah, let's not get it twisted either.
No, I don't want to come back. A lot's happened. Yeah, we're good. Like, it's okay. We can go our separate ways. How is you coming back supposed to impact these young dudes? Like, you coming back, you've already basically mean, like, I don't want to be a part of this team, don't want to be part of this organization. And now, like, oh, all's for... And what sport outside of Kobe with the Lakers, because he's Kobe and the Lakers are falling apart, and what sport has there ever been a superstar that's been like, yeah, I don't want to be here, and then he came back and was like, I was playing, y'all, we're good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to my girlfriend and say, hey, I'm gonna look for a little bit better option.
Charles is out there.
See if I can go win a championship, and then come back 2 months later.
and be like, you know what? I'm going to come back and see how this works for a little bit longer.
Guys,
and
I bet you those relationships do still exist.
No, and exactly. Those, and we call those dudes simps. And Joe Cronin wasn't a simp because basically you thought this girl in Miami was going to give you everything that you weren't, that you needed to be successful. And Miami was like, yeah, you're not, I don't like you that much to give you that. And then it was like, okay, well, I guess I'll come back. No, go back to Miami. Go take him. That's what you wanted. That's exactly what Dane wants. So he kind of made this bet in a lot of ways. And let's be real. You took an extra $125 million, extra whatever, to tie up more funds so we couldn't get more superstars. You asked them to sign Jeremy Grant knowing that you weren't going to be there. Like, yo, you did a lot of this stuff. So I understand. I love Damian Lillard, and I appreciate everything he's done as a trailblazer. But he's got to take some blame for the way this whole thing went down, too. You built your whole thing on loyalty and then did the most weirdest disloyal stuff over the last couple months. Like, bro, who does that? I get it, man. So hey, man, good luck to him. I think you're gonna do great things in Milwaukee. The East is a beast. I think that's what we're not saying. The East is tough, but I think, man, between Dame and Milwaukee, inside outside, that's a problem.
It'll be nasty.
That's a problem.
It'll be nasty. No, I'm glad it's all over, man. I'm just ready to turn the page. I love Dame too, but I am whoever's in the front office, whoever's calling the shots, whatever, it's still always the Portland Trailblazers. It's not the Portland Damian Lillards. It's not going to be the Portland Scoot Hendersons in 10 years.
It wasn't the Portland Drexlers. We've seen this before.
I mean,
we've seen this before, unfortunately. We lost our best player ever, and I think. That's my own thing.
The role of a general manager is to look out for the best of the team and the franchise, and
and I think everybody got what they wanted. Dame didn't get to go to Miami. He went to Milwaukee, probably a better situation. You know, a championship situation already with a surefire superstar. Amen. Well, arguably the best player in the league. Amen. I think Dame is great.
Yeah, we say it's over, but it's not. I mean, as we get into the season, as these careers progress for the younger Blazers, and as things go for Damian Lillard,
it's going to be dog days.
Oh, we're not done with this. We're not done with this at all. Yeah. But what we are starting with next is the Oregon Ducks. Big win, but more so want to talk about what's to come in 2 weeks for them. That is a huge game up in Seattle. We do that next, but first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Well, NBA does start in like 2 weeks or something like that. It's happy October, by the way.
Oh, yeah, man.
October 1st.
The first, right? First of the month.
Jeez.
Wake Halloween, up, Jackson. Come on.
Yep. Wake up.
Oh, shout out to Earth. You know, hopefully, man, thoughts and prayers and everything to Crazy Bone.
Oh, did
who's
he?
Been like in the hospital, yeah, like fighting for his life in critical conditions.
I saw that.
We're singing first
member
of the month.
Member of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
We're over here singing first of the month, man. Hopefully he's able to pull through.
The Ducks, they won yesterday against Stanford. It was a bit of a slog. Stanford did their best to keep the ball away from Oregon for as long as possible. And Oregon at first two series were three and outs, I believe. So it was very much what the hell is going on. And I've seen those games before and where, you know, it's just a slow start. The stadium is half full. You're playing a team that definitely you don't have the juice for like you do against Colorado. It's weird. And then things started to click in. And before you know it, Oregon got another 42-6 win under their belt. And now they go into the bye week. You know, we can break down this game if we really want to, but I don't, because once Oregon got things clicking, you don't like the slow start by any means. But again, I just think that is, you're coming out of a huge game, huge environment, and you go down and play Stanford, one of the, you know, least important games on your schedule as far as a conference schedule goes. And again, the stadium, there was probably more Duck fans there than Stanford fans there, and it was like, yeah, half full maybe.
The Ducks are the, you know, they've got a Yankee-esque, you know, Laker-esque kind
national
of
brand
feel to them. Absolutely. So you're going to find a lot of Duck fans all scattered all across the country. And except for maybe the South.
So they got it clicking. They were looking good. The game that wrapped up the Pac-12 slate last night, though, was Washington taking on Arizona. And I bring that up because that is Oregon's next opponent, the Washington Huskies. I can't believe I stayed up as long as I did watching this game last night, Rashad, Washington versus Arizona. Well, it should not have been this close, and Washington kept shooting themselves in the foot over and over again. But both the teams really did. It was a back-and-forth mess of a game, and it was about 31-17 with 3 minutes left to go or so, and then Arizona was able to get another score, 31-24, but it was just a little bit too late. From me trying to stay awake and watch the end of the game, I did see Arizona get that last touch. My dad, because I stayed at his house last night, he literally checked out at 31-17, thought the game was over. So Washington letting Arizona stay in it, and quite frankly, I love seeing this because there's Washington spending time and energy on a game they really shouldn't have had to with Arizona. Yes, they have the bye week and have the time to get, but that kind of performance instills doubt in your team. And quite frankly, what I was seeing out of the Washington is their run defense was not looking too good. Number three for Arizona. The name's escaping me, but he seemed like he was getting really solid little chunk runs, 8 yards, 9 yards of play, because the Arizona's quarterback could not do anything to save his life. So if you're an Oregon fan, if you're an Oregon Ducks player and you see that from Washington, you're like, boom, vulnerable right there. Washington was being called one of the best teams in the country by some pundits out there nationally, I mean, in this area. So now you see what Oregon has done in back-to-back weeks in conference play to start the year. You've seen what USC has done, especially against Colorado and their defense overall. Utah taking a loss, Oregon State taking a loss. And then this Washington game, you got to be going into Seattle feeling really good, Oregon, as far as not just being good in this game, but one of the best teams, if not the best team in the conference.
I mean, I don't want to say Washington. I think it was kind of one of those things, like they came into this game, especially going up after 14-0 in the first, and kind of was like, okay, we got this, guys. Easy work, right? We're in Arizona. We're in Tucson, right, for University of Arizona.
Yes.
Tucson, right?
Jordan? Yes. Geography on the fan. Tucson, Arizona, I believe is yes, where the University of Arizona is. Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to blame that, you know. So, you ever been to Tucson?
Mountainous part of Arizona, I believe.
You've been to University of Arizona or Arizona State? Yes, yeah, different. It's a different place. Not going to imagine being.
So I've heard.
Yeah, I can imagine being a little distracted. But the crazy thing is they won this game, and it wasn't necessarily because of Michael Penix Jr. Like, and not that he didn't play well in the game. He was 30 for 40, over 350 yards, but he didn't throw a touchdown. He was sacked a couple times.
Yeah, they were getting to him. Arizona,
and I think a lot of this is we look at it and say it's Arizona, right? It's the we're not really concerned about what the Wildcats can do.
Well, like, keep in mind, this was with a backup quarterback too. Jane Delore did not play. I'm telling you, the Arizona quarterback had a few times that he wanted to give this game away. So Washington had times to put this game away late, and they just didn't. They let Arizona kind of get back in it and only lose by a touchdown.
And even still, you know, after the quarterback was trying to give the game away at points, so to say, still had three touchdowns. He only threw one pick, but still had three touchdowns, and he got sacked once. But other than that, like, I thought Arizona played a gutsy game. I didn't think that they would even be close to Washington. And I don't want to say, if you're Oregon, you should definitely be concerned because it's Washington, because it's a rival, because this – you know, this closing year of the Pac-12, you know, all these games mean so much more than they used to mean. And so, man, I'm confident if you're Oregon, and then if you're putting up 40 plus points a game, you're confident every week. You know, you just blew out Stanford. You blow out Colorado the week prior. You've had nothing but blowouts at this point. So are you super confident that you can go up to Seattle and blow them out? Yeah, I think you are. Especially if Washington's going to play anything and like they did, and if Michael Penix Jr. isn't going to be able to kind of produce in the end zone, then yeah, I see Bo Nix and company running away with this.
Gosh, I'm so nervous. I'm gonna be a nervous wreck for the next 2 weeks, honestly, with this game. Because we saw what happened last year down in Autzen, and kind of it was same thing in the what I was saying about this, a lot of shooting yourself in the foot kind of in the fourth quarter and towards the end of the game that let Washington stay alive. And it's you just hope that the defense, because you've been seeing the last 2 weeks that the defense is improved from last year. I don't know how much you can take away from the first three games. I mean, even with that Texas Tech game, the defense was great turning the ball over, but they let Tyler Shuck run and throw the ball all over him for the most part. This is the biggest test by far for the defense. And you aren't going to really get, I guess you get Caleb Williams, but throughout the rest of the season, I mean, if Cam Rising comes back, DJU, I mean, Cam Ward as well. So you still have three great quarterbacks left to play, but this is the first real test for you guys coming up on the defensive end. The D linemen, the edge rushers getting to the quarterback, that has looked great, but secondary, it's all eyes are on you in this matchup.
No, yeah.
Talking about Oregon secondary, absolutely growing from game one to game five. Yeah. I'm impressed with all the guys. Like, thankfully, Kyrie Jackson, he went down briefly with an injury in last night's game, but able to come back doing all right. Steve Stevens, Evan Williams led the team in tackles last night, and that was not because they were, like, you know, long routes that were being hit by their quarterbacks. Stanford's quarterbacks can't pass, so their secondary, Oregon's is absolutely, I'm not totally convinced that they're elite yet, but they're getting there. And you want to play the comparison game. I was talking to Dirt on the postgame show last night, and you know, Oregon did just absolutely slam Colorado 42-6, right? And then what happens? They turn around and almost come back and get a win against USC. It's hard not to look at the difference of those games between Oregon versus Colorado and USC versus Colorado and see exactly, you know, where Oregon played a lot better. And USC and Washington are supposed to be kind of those elite teams of the Pac-12. I think people think it's like Washington, USC, Oregon kind of is like the 1B of those team collections. So I do think that there's something to be said about what Oregon did to Colorado and how elite those two, USC and Washington, at the top of the Pac-12 actually are. And I think Oregon at this point does look like the much better team, especially after that Colorado beatdown. So I'm interested to see how they attack Washington's secondary and hopefully run it up their throat.
And I also think, you know, and I still think Oregon would have won the game, but if that game was played in Colorado, maybe that's a little bit different, you know, for that Ducks team, considering the way they're packing out that stadium, you know, every single Saturday for Colorado. But being at home for UW is huge, you know, being there. And I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like. It might be, considering the trend of the weather around here, it might be our first kind of nasty game of the year.
We don't really know. The we have a two-week forecast, but it could change. It was like 68, 69 and cloudy. So not bad. So
not bad, but we could potentially be
make it a mess.
Something different.
I want to make it a mess. Slop it up, baby. Slop them up.
Get us ready for hate week. I don't like those games. Mess.
You know, but I still think USC is the top of the class for the Pac-12, and right now this is going to tell us who's number two, straight up and down. Like who's the second best team in this conference, and then from there we can figure out the rest of the conference from one and two.
Vancouver Ford text line chimes in: Oregon has a defense this year and more balanced offensively. Oregon 51, UW 30. Dear God, man,
that's a blast. Still kind of a blowout.
Wow, just putting it on the table and saying, hey, look at this thing. Wow. 51-30.
It's very specific. I love it.
Listen, as someone who drunkenly threw out a 51-19 score of the Colorado game, getting to 51, I'd love to see it happen somehow. I mean, that's a lot of field goals or maybe a safety in there. It's kind of like a scoregami almost. But yeah, again, I'm going to be a nervous wreck next 2 weeks. Having a bye leading up to this is just...
Yeah,
and I was pissed when I realized Washington had a bye also.
I'm just hoping the slate of flip college games for this week is is good, especially, you know, when your team has a bye, you at least want to see some cool games if you're not playing.
All right, let's lay out the rest of the show. Let's do Who Do You Love next. Then we got hour number two coming up. We'll do Oregon State. We'll ask some questions to College Game Day and what the hell they're doing exactly. Got a little baseball to get into because the playoffs are set, and The Mariners, it's going to be another boring October for them, unfortunately. And then we're going to finish with the fantasy scramble. So if you have any fantasy football sit or start questions, who needs to play, who needs to sit, I have a waiver wire question, I need to start this quarter, whatever the hell it is, just text it in to the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6FAN. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But next, it is Who Do You Love? We're going to look at our record, our scores from last week, rather, and make some picks for this week's NFL slate and college slate if you want next week, too, boys. We do that next here, Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Co. Next on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Unfortunately, I loved the Eagles last week. That makes me just disgusted to say, quite honestly. Looking at our picks from last week, Rashad, you went Raiders 3 under to cover. Ooh. Yeah, that did not work out too well. Seahawks 4.5. I believe you were good on that. I mean, they were up big. And yes, 37-30. Oh, wait. I'm on the wrong week here. What the hell is going on?
I don't think that happened.
What is going on right now? I know that I was wrong on their under against the Panthers. Yeah, they won by 10. I was wrong on their over-under, like, damn near the start of the fourth quarter on that one. And taking a look at some other ones, Rashad, you took Eagles to cover the 5. I took the Eagles to cover the 5. I took the Cowboys to cover 12.5. Let's not talk about that, though. Let's move on. Jordan, Titans to cover the 3.
No.
And I believe they had less than 100 yards of offense that game.
They got to move on from Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
3 seasons ago.
You're not wrong.
And what else? You had Rams and over the Bengals, and that was a close game there on Monday night. Ugly as hell.
I think it was just because Joe Burrow played. I mean, the Joe Burrow factor allowed Cincinnati to win that one. So, but hey, shout out to them, and that was a big decision to come in and keep them 1-2 instead of 0-3, right?
All right, so week 2 here, not just the NFL, but we can go college if you want. Is there anything that you're seeing, Rashad, you want to jump out with?
Let's see. We're going to look at today's
I'm looking games. At the slate right now, and some of the games are just... You want to go after that Broncos-Bears game at all?
No, I think I'll be... Totally. That should be that's the toilet bowl right there. That game.
70 points, dear God.
70 points. Like, how do you even explain that? How's everybody not fired on Tuesday? Like, everybody should be fired at that point. I guess the game I'm going to start with is the Rams at the Colts. I think the Rams are favored by 1.
Yes,
you know, in this game. Is Anthony Richardson playing?
Yes,
today?
He is back.
Yeah,
he
Anthony Richardson back. I like that number going up a little bit. Anthony Richards, I've been impressed with him for at least a little bit that I was able to see him play. So hopefully he's able to, you know, put some big points on the board for his team at home. A 1-point spread isn't much, at least in my opinion. So I'm going to say.
Going Colts to cover the 1 or just money line?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts to cover the 1.
All right.
I'm actually on the other end of that game.
You're going with the Rams again.
I'm going with the Rams. It's an easy pick 'em, I think. Richardson obviously down a bit, and the Rams with their top receiver option and Puka Nacua still. Matt Stafford's looking 30 as opposed to 36. So, yeah, I think Rams on the road in the Easy Dome Arena. No weather-like game. No, Rams in a pick-up.
Rams straight up. I'm going to go with the Bengals at the Titans. Bengals only a 2.5-point favorite. I know their offensive, their offense hasn't looked great, but Titans offense has looked just as god-awful to start the year. A little bit in the right trajectory last week with their win over the Rams. Again, it's been tough sledding, but I think that this is the week that things finally pop off. I know it's in Tennessee and the Titans have a good defense, but if the Browns can put up 27 points and the Bengals are finally past their preseason, essentially, the first 3 weeks of the game, give me Bengals covering the 2.5. Rashad, next one on the slate for you.
Dallas is favored by 6 against my New England Patriots at home.
Oh, God. We haven't even gotten into this, bud.
This after, yeah, I know, man. It's a house
in Dallas
right now.
In Dallas. Zeke returning to Dallas.
Zeke coming back to Dallas. Curious of what that fanfare is going to be. But because he's coming home to Dallas, I would expect him to at least get some goal line touches.
You taking a prop bet here? Zeke?
Yes, he's right.
Zeke, you know? Over 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say he's going to have 0 touchdowns considering the way he's played so far.
Hey, he had been like, what, 80 yards rushing last week?
No, he did.
The
they're using him more. He's starting to understand the playbook. And if you know anything about that New England playbook, it's incredibly difficult for a lot of people.
All your years going through that playbook, huh?
Oh, man. You know, it's intricate. You know, it's intricate. But, as much as I love my Pats, I'm a realist, and I'm surprised that the spread isn't a little more. I know there's a lot of stock in New England's defense right now.
Did you see the Cowboys play last week?
I did see them play, but they're still very good despite how bad.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Well, NBA does start in like 2 weeks or something like that. It's happy October, by the way.
Oh, yeah, man.
October 1st.
First, right? First yeah. of the month.
Jeez.
Wake Halloween, up, Jackson, come on.
Yeah, wake up.
Oh, shout out to Earth. You know, hopefully, man, thoughts and prayers and everything to Crazy Bone.
Oh, did
who's
he?
Been like in the hospital, yeah. like fighting for his life in critical conditions.
I saw so that.
We're singing first
member
of the month.
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
We're over here singing first of the month, man. Hopefully he's able to pull through.
The Ducks They won yesterday against Stanford. It was a bit of a slog. Stanford did their best to keep the ball away from Oregon for as long as possible. And Oregon, at first two series were three and outs, I believe. So it was very much what the hell is going on. And I've seen those games before and where, you know, it's just a slow start. The stadium is half full. You're playing a team that definitely you don't have the juice for like you do against Colorado. It's weird. And then things started to click in, and before you know it, Oregon got another 42-6 win under their belt. And now they go into the bye week. You know, we can break down this game if we really want to, but I don't, because once Oregon got things clicking, you don't like the slow start by any means. But again, I just think that is, you're coming out of a huge game, huge environment, and you go down and play Stanford, one of the, you know, least important games on your schedule as far as a conference schedule goes. And again, the stadium, there was probably more Duck fans there than Stanford fans there. And it was like, yeah, half full, maybe,
The Ducks are the, you know, they've got a Yankee-esque, you know, Laker-esque kind
national
of
brand.
Feel to them. Absolutely. So you're going to find a lot of Duck fans all scattered all across the country, and except for maybe the South.
So they got it clicking. They were looking good. The game that wrapped up the Pac-12 slate last night, though, was Washington taking on Arizona. And I bring that up because that is Oregon's next opponent, the Washington Huskies. I can't believe I stayed up as long as I did watching this game last night, Rashad, Washington versus Arizona. Well, it should not have been this close, and Washington kept shooting themselves in the foot over and over again. But both the teams really did. It was a back-and-forth mess of a game, and it was about 31-17 with 3 minutes left to go or so, and then Arizona was able to get another score, 31-24, but it was just a little bit too late. From me trying to stay awake and watch the end of the game, I did see Arizona get that last touch. My dad, because I stayed at his house last night, he literally checked out at 31-17, thought the game was over. So Washington letting Arizona stay in it, and quite frankly, I love seeing this, because there's Washington spending time and energy on a game they really shouldn't have had to with Arizona. Yes, they have the bye week and have the time to get, but that kind of performance instills doubt in your team. And quite frankly, what I was seeing out of the Washington is their run defense was not looking too good. Number three for Arizona, the name's escaping me, but he seemed like he was getting really solid little chunk runs, 8 yards, 9 yards of play, because the Arizona's quarterback could not do anything to save his life. So if you're an Oregon fan, if you're an Oregon Ducks player and you see that from Washington, you're like, boom, vulnerable right there. Washington was being called one of the best teams in the country by some pundits out there nationally, I mean, in this area. So now you see what Oregon has done in back-to-back weeks in conference play to start the year. You've seen what USC has done, especially against Colorado and as their defense overall. Utah taking a loss, Oregon State taking a loss. And then this Washington game, you got to be going into Seattle feeling really good, Oregon, as far as not just being good in this game, but one of the best teams, if not the best team in the conference.
I mean, I don't want to say Washington. I think it was kind of one of those things, like they came into this game, especially going up after 14-0 in the first, and kind of was like, okay, we got this, guys. Easy work, right? We're in Arizona. We're in Tucson, right? For University of Arizona.
Yes.
Tucson, right?
Jordan? Yes. Geography on the fan. Tucson, Arizona, I believe is yes, where the University of Arizona is. Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to blame that, you know. So, you ever been to Tucson?
Mountainous part of Arizona, I believe.
You ever been to University of Arizona or Arizona State? Yes, different. It's a different place. Not going to imagine being.
So I've heard.
Yeah, I can imagine being a little distracted, but The crazy thing is they won this game, and it wasn't necessarily because of Michael Penix Jr. Like, and not that he didn't play well in the game. He was 30 for 40, over, you know, 350 yards, but he didn't throw a touchdown. He was sacked a couple times.
Yeah, they were getting to him. Arizona,
and I think a lot of this is we look at it and say it's Arizona, right? It's the, yeah, we don't, we're not really concerned about what the Wildcats can do.
Well, and keep in mind, this was with a backup quarterback, too. Jane DeLore did not play. I'm telling you, the Arizona quarterback had a few times that he wanted to give this game away. So Washington had times to put this game away late, and they just didn't. They let Arizona kind of get back in it and only lose by a touchdown.
And even still, you know, after the quarterback was trying to give the game away at points, so to say, still had three touchdowns. He only threw one pick, but still had three touchdowns, and he got sacked once. But other than that, like, I thought Arizona played a gutsy game. I didn't think that they would even be close to Washington. And I don't want to say, if you're Oregon, you should definitely be concerned, because it's Washington, because it's a rival, because this, you know, this in this closing year of the Pac-12, you know, all these games mean so much more than they used to mean. And so, man, I'm confident if you're Oregon. And then if you're putting up 40 plus points a game, you're confident every week. You know, you just blew out Stanford. You blow out Colorado the week prior. You've had nothing but blowouts at this point. So are you super confident that you can go up to Seattle and blow them out? Yeah, I think you are. Especially if Washington's going to play anything and like they did, and if Michael Penix Jr. isn't going to be able to kind of produce in the end zone, then yeah, I see Bo Nix and company running away with this.
Gosh, I'm so nervous. I'm going to be a nervous wreck for the next 2 weeks, honestly, with this game, because we saw what happened last year down in Autzen, and kind of. It was same thing in the what I was saying about this, a lot of shooting yourself in the foot kind of in the fourth quarter and towards the end of the game that let Washington stay alive. And it's you just hope that the defense, because you've been seeing the last 2 weeks that the defense is improved from last year. I don't know how much you can take away from the first three games. I mean, even with that Texas Tech game, the defense was great turning the ball over, but they let Tyler Shuck run and throw the ball all over him for the most part. This is the biggest test by far for the defense, and you aren't going to really get, I guess you get Caleb Williams, but throughout the rest of the season, I mean, if Cam Rising comes back, DJU, Cam Ward as well. So you still have three great quarterbacks left to play, but this is the first real test for you guys coming up on the defensive end. The D linemen, the edge rushers getting to the quarterback, that has looked great, but secondary, it's all eyes are on you in this matchup.
No, yeah.
Talking about Oregon secondary, absolutely growing from game one to game five. Yeah. I'm impressed with all the guys. Like, thankfully, Kyrie Jackson, he went down briefly with an injury in last night's game, but able to come back doing all right. Steve Stevens, Evan Williams led the team in tackles last night, and that was not because they were, like, you know, long routes that were being hit by their quarterbacks. Stanford's quarterbacks can't pass, so their secondary. Oregon's is absolutely, I'm not totally convinced that they're elite yet, but they're getting there. And you want to play the comparison game. I was talking to Dirt on the postgame show last night, and, you know, Oregon did just absolutely slam Colorado 42-6, right? And then what happens? They turn around and almost come back and get a win against USC. It's hard not to look at the difference of those games between Oregon versus Colorado and USC versus Colorado and see exactly, you know, where Oregon played a lot better. And USC and Washington are supposed to be kind of those elite teams of the Pac-12. I think people think it's like Washington, USC, Oregon kind of is like the 1B of those team collections. So I do think that there's something to be said about what Oregon did to Colorado and how elite those two, USC and Washington, at the top of the Pac-12 actually are. And I think Oregon at this point does look like the much better team, especially after that Colorado beatdown. So I'm interested to see how they attack Washington's secondary and hopefully run it up their throat.
And I also think, you know, and I still think Oregon would have won the game, but if that game was played in Colorado, maybe that's a little bit different, you know, for that Ducks team, considering the way they're packing out that stadium, you know, every single Saturday for Colorado. But being at home for UW is huge, you know, being there. And I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like. It might be, considering the trend of the weather around here, it might be our first kind of nasty game of the year.
We don't really know. The we have a two-week forecast, but it could change. It was like 68, 69 and cloudy. So not bad. So
not bad, but we don't know yet. Could potentially be
making a mess.
Something different.
I want to make it a mess.
Slop it up, baby. Slop them up.
Get us ready for hate week.
I don't
week
like
with
those
them.
Games. Yes. You know, but I still think USC is the top of the class for the Pac-12. And right now, this is going to tell us who's number two, straight up and down. Like, who's the second best team in this conference? And then from there, we can figure out the rest of the conference from one and two.
Vancouver Ford text line chimes in. Oregon has a defense this year and more balanced offensively. Oregon 51, UW 30. Dear God, man.
That's a blessing. That's still kind of a blowout.
Wow. Just putting it on the table and saying, hey, look at this thing. Wow. 51-30.
It's very specific. I love it.
Listen, as someone who drunkenly threw out a 51-19 score of the Colorado game, getting to 51, I'd love to see it happen somehow. I mean, that's a lot of field goals or maybe a safety in there. It's kind of like a scoregami almost. But yeah, again, I'm going to be a nervous wreck next 2 weeks. Having a bye leading up to this is just...
Yeah,
and I was pissed when I realized Washington had a bye also.
I'm just hoping the slate of flip college games for this week is is good, especially, you know, when your team has a bye, you at least want to see some cool games if you're not playing.
All right, let's lay out the rest of the show. Let's do who do you love next. Then we got hour number two coming up. We'll do Oregon State. We'll ask some questions to College Game Day and what the hell they're doing exactly. Got a little baseball to get into because the playoffs are set. And the Mariners, it's going to be another boring October for them, unfortunately. And then we're going to finish with the fantasy scramble. So if you have any fantasy football sit or start questions, who needs to play, who needs to sit. I have a waiver wire question. I need to start this quarter. Whatever the hell it is, just text it in to the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6FAN. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But next, it is Who Do You Love? We're going to look at our record, our scores from last week, rather, and make some picks for this week's NFL slate and college slate if you want next week, too, boys. We do that next here, Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Co. Next on 1080 The Fan.
Who Do You Love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Unfortunately, I love the Eagles last week. That makes me just disgusted to say, quite honestly. Looking at our picks from last week, Rashad... You went Raiders 3 under to cover. Ooh. Yeah, that did not work out too well. Seahawks 4.5. I believe you were good on that. I mean, they were up big. And yes, 37-30. Oh, wait. I'm on the wrong week here. What the hell is going on?
I don't think that happened.
What is going on right now? I know that I was wrong on their under against the Panthers. Yeah, they won by 10. I was wrong on their over under, like damn near the start of the fourth quarter on that one. And taking a look at some other ones, Rashad, you took Eagles to cover the 5. I took the Eagles to cover the 5. I took the Cowboys to cover 12.5. Let's not talk about that though. Let's move on. Jordan Titans to cover the 3.
No.
And I believe they had less than 100 yards of offense that game.
They got to move on from Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
3 seasons ago.
You're not wrong.
And what else? You had Rams and over the Bengals, and that was a close game there on Monday night. Ugly as hell.
I think it was just because Joe Burrow played. I mean, the Joe Burrow factor allowed Cincinnati to win that one. So, but hey, shout out to them, and that was a big decision to come in and keep them 1-2 instead of 0-3, right?
All right, so week 2 here, not just the NFL, but we can go college if you want. Is there anything that you're seeing, Rashad, you want to jump out with?
Let's see. We're going to look at today's
I'm looking games. At the slate right now, and some of the games are just... You want to go after that Broncos-Bears game at all?
No, I think I'll be... Totally. That should be that's a toilet bowl right there. That game.
70 points, dear God.
70 points. Like, how do you even explain that? How's everybody not fired on Tuesday? Like, everybody should be fired at that point. I guess the game I'm going to start with is the Rams at the Colts. I think the Rams are favored by one.
Yes.
You know, in this game. Is Anthony Richardson playing?
Yes, today? He is back.
Yeah,
he
Anthony Richardson back. I like that number going up a little bit. Anthony Richards, I've been impressed with him for at least a little bit that I was able to see him play. So hopefully he's able to, you know, put some big points on the board for his team at home. A 1-point spread isn't much, at least in my opinion. So I'm going to say.
Going Colts to cover the one or just money line?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts to cover the one.
All right.
I'm actually on the other end of that game.
You're going with the Rams again.
I'm going with the Rams. It's an easy pick'em, I think. Richardson obviously down a bit, and the Rams with their top receiver option and Puka Nacua still. Matt Stafford's looking 30 as opposed to 36. So, yeah, I think Rams on the road in the Easy Dome Arena. No weather-like game. No, Rams in a pick'em.
Rams straight up. I am going to go with the Bengals at the Titans. Bengals only a 2.5-point favorite. I know their offense hasn't looked great, but Titans offense has looked just as god-awful to start the year. A little bit in the right trajectory last week with their win over the Rams. Again, it's been tough sledding, but I think that this is the week that things finally pop off. I know it's in Tennessee and the Titans have a good defense, but if the Browns can put up 27 points and the Bengals are finally past their preseason, essentially, the first 3 weeks of the game, give me Bengals covering the 2.5. Rashad, next one on the slate for you.
Dallas is favored by 6 against my New England Patriots at home.
Oh God, we haven't even gotten into this, bud.
This after, yeah, I know, man. It's a house
in Dallas
right now.
Zeke returning to Dallas.
Zeke coming back to Dallas. Curious of what that fanfare is going to be, but because he's coming home to Dallas, I would expect him to at least get some goal line touches.
You taking a prop bet here, Zeke?
Yeah, right.
Zeke, you know? Over 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say he's going to have 0 touchdowns considering the way he's played so far.
Hey, he had like, 80 yards rushing last week?
No, he did.
The
they're using him more. He's starting to understand the playbook, and if you know anything about that New England playbook, it's incredibly difficult for a lot of people.
All your years going through that playbook, huh?
Oh, man, you know, it's intricate. You know, it's intricate, but as much as I love my Pats, I'm a realist, and I'm surprised that the spread isn't a little more. I know there's a lot of stock in New England's defense right now.
Did you see the Cowboys play last week?
I did see them play, but they're still very good despite how bad they played last week. And so as much as I hate to admit that, and especially in front of one Joe Fisher, I'm taking the spread of 6. I'm taking the Cowboys minus 6.
Damn. Jordan. Something tasty on there for you?
My second one, I think, is very tasty indeed, and honestly, kind of an easy one. The line, I feel like Vegas is trying to trap people. The line keeps going down. It was at 9. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Jets. Zach Wilson, I mean, unless he just all of a sudden shows up and acts different than we've seen him in the past 2.5 seasons, I don't see any result but the Chiefs covering. It is now 8. So I'm going to go with Kansas City covers the 8 in that one. I think they're going to win by at least 2 touchdowns there.
Yes, I mean, the Chiefs offense popped last week against the Bears, but they play a much better defense tonight in New York, so it'll be interesting to see what they do against the Jets. All right, we got the Raiders at the Chargers today in L.A., probably going to be more Raider fans and Charger fans in the building, but the Raiders are playing some dude named O'Connell. I'm not even kidding. It's like Raiders to start rookie O'Connell at quarterback. Who is this? Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell. Okay. Well, that name sounds familiar out of college. Yeah.
Yeah. What college? This sounds like,
I don't know, but I've heard
the name.
Is
this an AI generated quarterback? Purdue.
There you go.
Fourth round pick, 135th pick in this year's draft by the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell
will be starting
for them. You're trusting me? You think that Aiden O'Connell's going to be able to get Davante Adams the ball today? You got to be kidding yourself.
Hey, man. How many times have we seen some rando come off the bench named Tony Romo Hey. Just light the world on fire.
And do it consistently for the next few years?
Hey, man, it happens all the
Are
time.
You
Everybody,
that's Aiden O'Connell. Hey,
it might be. We don't know. We don't know.
Well, Chargers are getting 6.5 at home. They are putting up points like crazy. I'm taking the Chargers to cover the 6.5 against the Aiden O'Connell-led Raiders. Yikes. Who did you have again, Jordan? Sorry.
No, it's cool. It was Kansas City to cover the 8. Kansas. It was 9 down to 8 Jeez. Over the New York Jets. And they're really good defense and terrible offense.
That's the Taylor effect right there.
And then Chargers to cover the 6.5.
Robert Saleh is lying to everybody saying that Zach Wilson is a good quarterback, by the way. Can we just, like, he might be committing organizational malpractice.
Well, you can't say he's trash.
I was going to say, is he saying he's a good quarterback or more so saying he's our quarterback?
He's saying that he is the quarterback.
It's a very general statement.
I'll go back and pull the exact quote, but the words
our
of
quarterback.
Praise. See, no, it's beyond he's our quarterback. It's,
well, you're stuck with him for
he's
the
technically
year.
A starting, he's technically a quarterback for the New York Jets, yes.
He's stuck with him for the year because for whatever reason, quarterbacks don't get traded midseason.
Give Terry Bridgewater a call.
All right. We're up against it. Rashad, what's your last one, bud?
Oh, I got to do one more?
Yes, that was only 2.
Dang it. Okay.
he's going to be losing money this week.
I will go. let's go with the Monday night game. And that's Seahawks at the Jets. Seahawks favored by 1.5.
Seahawks-Giants.
Seahawks-Giants. I'm so sorry. Another terrible New York team. But Seahawks favored by 1.5. I'm definitely taking Seahawks in the points.
You're taking the Seahawks to cover 1.5, the long flight over to New York?
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
going to be a slow, dumpy game, I think.
Slow, dumpy game. Slow, poopy game. Jordan, next one.
All right, last one for me is actually a player prop. Jay Herbie. Justin Herbert, former Duck. His total yards. Most books have him around 280, 281.5. I see the over there. He's been just absolutely nuts connecting with Keenan Allen all season. And I know Mike Williams is out, but they do have a couple of other weapons as well. And no Eckler today, but my man, Justin Herbert's basically without Eckler going to have to pass the ball a ton. So I see over the 281.5 for Jay Herbie today.
Go over 280.5. Okay. And then I am going to go to the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. This one is in Cleveland. Messy divisional game, but I'm going with the Ravens to cover the 2. I love the Ravens this year much more than I like the Browns. Honestly, I just hope the worst for the Browns, and I'm hoping this isn't an emotional bet. But they put up 24 points, 22
what
points.
The worst for the Browns?
Yeah, just the entire organization all the time.
Jeez.
27 points against the Titans last week. But again, that team is just garbage. So I'm going Ravens to cover the 2 points. And that is who do you love? These games start in just an hour. And hour 2 of Football Sunday starts next, right here on 1080 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARK Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love?
Unfortunately, I love the Eagles last week. That makes me just disgusted to say, quite honestly. Looking at our picks from last week, Rashad, you went Raiders 3 under to cover. Ooh. Yeah, that did not work out too well. Seahawks 4.5. I believe you were good on that. I mean, they were up big. And yes, 37-30. Oh, wait. I'm on the wrong week here. What the hell is going on?
I don't think that happened.
What is going on right now? I know that I was wrong on their under against the Panthers. Yeah, they won by 10. I was wrong on their over-under, like, damn near the start of the fourth quarter on that one. And taking a look at some other ones. Rashad, you took Eagles to cover the 5. I took the Eagles to cover the 5. I took the Cowboys to cover 12.5. Let's not talk about that, though. Let's move on. Jordan Titans to cover the 3.
No.
And I believe they had less than 100 yards of offense that game.
They got to move on from Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
3 seasons ago.
You're not wrong.
And what else? You had Rams and over the Bengals. And that was a close game there on Monday night. Ugly as hell.
I think it was just because Joe Burrow played. I mean, the Joe Burrow factor allowed Cincinnati to win that one. So, but hey, shout out to them. And that was a big decision to come in and keep them 1-2 instead of 0-3, right?
All right, so week 2 here, not just the NFL, but we can go college if you want. Is there anything that you're seeing, Rashad, you want to jump out with?
Let's see. We're going to look at today's
I'm looking game. At the slate right now, and some of the games are just – you want to go after that Broncos-Bears game at all?
No, I think I'll be – totally. That should be. That's the toilet bowl right there. That game.
70 points. Dear God.
70 points. Like, how do you even explain that? How's everybody not fired on Tuesday? Like, everybody should be fired at that point. I guess the game I'm going to start with is the Rams at the Colts. I think the Rams are favored by 1.
Yes.
You know, in this game. Is Anthony Richardson playing?
Yes,
today?
He is back.
Yeah,
he
Anthony Richardson back. I like that number going up a little bit. Anthony Richards, I've been impressed with him for at least a little bit that I was able to see him play. So hopefully he's able to, you know, put some big points on the board for his team at home. A 1-point spread isn't much, at least in my opinion. So I'm going to say.
Going Colts to cover the 1 or just money line?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts to cover the 1.
All right.
I'm actually on the other end of that game.
You're going with the Rams again.
I'm going with the Rams. It's an easy pick 'em, I think. Richardson obviously down a bit, and the Rams with their top receiver option, Puka Nacua still. Matt Stafford's looking 30 as opposed to 36. So, yeah, I think Rams on the road in the Easy Dome Arena. No weather-like game. No, Rams in a pick-up.
Rams straight up. I'm going to go with the Bengals at the Titans. Bengals only a 2.5-point favorite. I know their offense hasn't looked great, but Titans' offense has looked just as god-awful to start the year. A little bit in the right trajectory last week with their win over the Rams. Again, it's been tough sledding, but I think that this is the week that things finally pop off. I know it's in Tennessee and the Titans have a good defense, but if the Browns can put up 27 points and the Bengals are finally past their preseason, essentially, the first 3 weeks of the game, give me Bengals covering the 2.5. Rashad, next one on the slate for you.
Dallas is favored by 6 against my New England Patriots at home.
Oh, God. We haven't even gotten into this, bud.
This after, yeah, I know, man. It's a house
in Dallas
right now.
In Dallas. Zeke returning to Dallas.
Zeke coming back to Dallas. Curious of what that fanfare is going to be. But because he's coming home to Dallas, I would expect him to at least get some goal line touches.
You taking a prop bet here? Zeke?
Yeah, right.
Zeke, you know? Over 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say he's going to have 0 touchdowns considering the way he's played so far.
Hey, he had like, what, 80 yards rushing last week?
No, he did.
The
they're using him more. He's starting to understand the playbook. And if you know anything about that New England playbook, it's incredibly difficult for a lot of people.
You but, and I, all your years going through that playbook, huh?
Oh, man. You know, it's intricate. You know, it's intricate. But, as much as I love my Pats, I'm a realist, and I'm surprised that the spread isn't a little more. I know there's a lot of stock in New England's defense right now.
Did you see the Cowboys play last week?
I did see them play, but they're still very good despite how bad they played last week. And so as much as I hate to admit that, and especially in front of one Joe Fisher, I'm taking the spread of 6. I'm taking the Cowboys -6.
Damn. Jordan. Something tasty on there for you?
My second one, I think, is very tasty indeed, and honestly, kind of an easy one. The line, I feel like Vegas is trying to trap people. The line keeps going down. It was at 9. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Jets. Zach Wilson, I mean, unless he just all of a sudden shows up and acts different than we've seen him in the past 2.5 seasons, I don't see any result but the Chiefs covering. It is now 8. So I'm going to go with Kansas City covers the 8 in that one. I think they're going to win by at least 2 touchdowns there.
Yes, I mean, the Chiefs offense popped last week against the Bears, but they play a much better defense tonight in New York, so it'll be interesting to see what they do against the Jets. All right, we got the Raiders at the Chargers today in L.A., probably going to be more Raider fans and Charger fans in the building, but the Raiders are playing some dude named O'Connell. I'm not even kidding. It's like Raiders to start rookie O'Connell at quarterback. Who is this? Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell. Okay. Well, that name sounds familiar out of college. Yeah.
Yeah. What college? This sounds like,
I don't know, but I've heard the name.
An AI generated quarterback?
That?
Purdue.
There you go.
Fourth round pick, 135th pick in this year's draft by the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell will be starting for them. You're trusting me. You think that Aiden Connell's going to be able to get Devontae Adams the ball today? You got to be kidding yourself.
Hey, man. How many times have we seen some rando come off the bench named Tony Romo and just light the world on fire
and do it consistently for the next few years?
Hey, man, it happens all the
time.
Everybody,
that's Aiden O'Connell.
Hey, it might be. We don't know.
Well, Chargers are getting 6.5 at home. They are putting up points like crazy. I'm taking the Chargers to cover the 6.5 against the Aiden O'Connell-led Raiders. Yikes. Who did you have again, Jordan? Sorry.
No, it's cool. It was Kansas City to cover the 8. Kansas. It was 9 down to 8 City over the New York Jets, and they're really good defense and terrible offense.
That's the Taylor effect right there.
And then Chargers to cover the 6.5.
Robert Saleh is lying to everybody saying that Zach Wilson is a good quarterback, by the way. Can we just, like, he might be committing organizational malpractice.
Well, you can't say he's trash.
I was going to say, is he saying he's a good quarterback or more so saying he's our quarterback?
He's saying that he is the quarterback.
It's a very general statement.
I'll go back and pull the exact quote, but the words
our quarterback.
Phrase. See, no, it's beyond he's our quarterback. Well,
you're stuck with him for the year.
He's technically a quarterback for the New York Jets, yes.
He's stuck with him for the year because for whatever reason, quarterbacks don't get traded midseason.
Give Terry Bridgewater a call.
All right. We're up against it. Rashad, what's your last one, bud?
Oh, I got to do one more?
Yes, that was only two.
Dang it. Okay.
he's going to be losing money this week.
I will go. let's go with the Monday night game. And that's Seahawks at the Jets. Seahawks favored by 1.5.
Seahawks-Giants.
Seahawks-Giants. I'm so sorry. Another terrible New York team. But Seahawks favored by 1.5. I'm definitely taking Seahawks in the points.
You're taking the Seahawks to cover 1.5, the long flight over to New York?
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be a slow, dumpy game, I think.
Slow, dumpy game. Slow, poopy game. Jordan, next one.
All right, last one for me is actually a player prop. Jay Herbie. Justin Herbert, former Duck, his total yards. Most books have him around 280, 281.5. I see the over there. He's been just absolutely nuts connecting with Keenan Allen all season. And I know Mike Williams is out, but they do have a couple of other weapons as well. And no Eckler today, but my man, Justin Herbert's basically without Eckler going to have to pass the ball a ton. So I see over the 281.5 for Jay Herbie today.
Go over 280.5. Okay. And then I am going to go to the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. This one is in Cleveland. Messy divisional game, but I'm going with the Ravens to cover the 2. I love the Ravens this year much more than I like the Browns. Honestly, I just hope the worst for the Browns, and I'm hoping this isn't an emotional bet. But they put up 24 points, 22
what
points.
The worst for the Browns?
Yeah, just the entire organization all the time.
Jeez.
27 points against the Titans last week. But again, that team is just garbage. So I'm going Ravens to cover the 2 points. And that is Who Do You Love? These games start in just an hour. And hour 2 of Football Sunday starts next, right here on 1080 The Fan.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.